the amount of sensory that is happening standing here, from music to smell. It's turkey leg out of the mix, just the smells of popcorn, churros, flowers, vegetation.
Disneyland in general.
People.
Yeah. It's just amazing. Yeah. It's an amazing sensory extravaganza, guys.
Hello, welcome to Sip with Nikki. I'm Nikki Lamberti here in Sonoma County, California. Thanks so much for tuning in this week. So I'm just going to level with you. There has been a lot going on in my world. You may have heard from a previous episode that since December, I have been in a bit of a battle with breast cancer. But I'm at the home stretch, and after two surgeries and 16 rounds of chemo, I'm about to finish 20 rounds of radiation this coming week, and I can see the light at the end of the tunnel, and I'm feeling really good, and I'm so grateful for medicine and my medical team. In the middle of all of this, my dad was diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer. That happened just at the end of May, and sadly, we lost him last weekend. So as I'm sitting here to record this intro, there's a lot going on in my brain and in my heart. And I want to dedicate this episode to his legacy, which was joy. If you're a regular listener, you've heard me refer to myself as a joy junkie. And while he was a little bit more subtle and introverted in his quest for joy than me, perhaps, he would often take in the surroundings. If, let's say, we were all back home together under the same roof as adults having a meal, and he would just look at all of us and say, "This is nice." So in honor of that, I'm sharing an episode that is really chock full of joy. 2 weeks ago, I did a very last-minute whirlwind trip down to Southern California with my dear friends Hobie and Justin. Again, if you are a listener, those names should be familiar to you. Dr. Hobie was born without sight and has made it his life's work in guiding other people in all aspects of sensory when it applies to food and beverage and taking in their surroundings. And if you are not following this man on Instagram, Dr. Hobie, H-O-B-Y, literally pause this podcast right now. I'll wait. Open up Instagram and follow Dr. Hobie. Okay. Hobie has this year been doing a series of videos where he is enjoying really simple things, biting into particular fruits, talking about why you should put salt in your coffee, and just experiencing them through his sensory. And these videos have gone viral. Now, Hobie always had an amazing following, and people that know him, like me, just love and admire him for the different perspective that he brings to experiences. You also may know that Hobie and his partner Justin are also big Dave Matthews fans like me, especially if you listen to the recent episode that I re-released about my brush with Dave Matthews last summer. So 2 weeks ago, the three of us flew down to LA to go to a Dave concert, which was amazing, especially because I had pretty much written off that I wasn't going to get to see Dave this summer, just being in the middle of treatments and back and forth to New Jersey to spend time with my dad and my family. And we were able to squeeze it in at the very last minute, and I'm so glad that we did. Well, the way that my brain works is, hey, if we're in LA for a concert, Disneyland is right there. And so I was able to use my Disney Vacation Club points and book us a room at the Villas at the Disneyland Hotel. And we were able to spend Saturday and Sunday at Disneyland. And this was the first time getting to experience the Disney parks with Hobie and Justin. As you may know, I've worked for Disney for many, many years, mostly in Orlando at Walt Disney World. But I do get to visit Disneyland about once a year. And we decided to record some of our experiences in the parks, which is what you're about to hear. Now, what's really fun is there were some double content creation going on. So some of what I was recording for this podcast was actually watching Justin filming Hobie for his Instagram Reels. So much of what you're going to hear now, if you then go to Instagram, you'll actually be able to watch the video that accompanies the audio, specifically the one that has gone really viral, which is Hobie tasting a famous Disneyland turkey leg and giving us his thoughts. You'll also hear some other fun snacks that we enjoy, like the pickle dog and what that's all about. And really interesting to get Hobie's take on some Disney attractions and what it's like to experience those without sight, whether it's a classic snoozer like Small World or something super high-tech and brand new like Star Wars Rise of the Resistance. Whenever I spend time with Hobie, it reminds me to take in my surroundings in a different way. And what I did multiple times while we were in the parks was close my eyes and try to experience the Disney magic like he does through audio and through smell and through the feel of the change of the pavement underneath his feet. It was really such an interesting experience, and I'm so glad that we were able to squeeze it in the middle of all this craziness around me. So I'm so excited for you to listen in. And lastly, so many people have been so kind to reach out knowing that I've had a tough 2025 and have been asking how they can support my family and I. And I say the best way to do that is you can certainly be an angel and support the podcast. There is a link in the show notes to do that. It's essentially like a tip or a donation to say thank you for the hard work and all of the content that you're enjoying. And another wonderful way that you can support us is to buy our wine, Solavato. Buy it because it's delicious. At the time of this recording, I've got 2022 Sangiovese and a Fortunato Red Blend available. And in just a few weeks, we'll be releasing our 2023s, including first ever bottling of Grenache that has a special pink label for breast cancer, with proceeds from each bottle going to support the V Foundation for Cancer Research. You can do so at solavatowines.com. That's S-O-L-L-E-V-A-T-O wines.com. And be sure to use the discount code PODLISTENER for 10% off your order, and I can ship to most states in the U.S. I know this is a long introduction, but I had a lot to catch you up on, but I cannot wait for you to hear Hobie, Justin, and I, and our weekend of joy. Here we go. We're in Disneyland, you guys. What?
Whoa!
How we fun!
Went to a concert last night, and now Nikki is so sweet to bring us to Disneyland today. Nikki, Hobie, and Justin, and oh my gosh, what we were just saying. I'm blind, so I don't get the visual stuff, but the non-visual sensory stimulation is amazing. We're standing by the Small World ride.
If you can't tell by the music in the background.
Exactly, and it's one of my absolute, I'd done it one time before, like 8 months ago, but what's amazing is I did it this time and I got pieces that I never got before. First of all, you go into a tunnel and it smells like an old building. And then as you go—
Like a 70-year-old building?
It does. It smells like a building from the 50s. And it's very subtle, but and it wasn't like food smells, but different scenes around the world. Justin was explaining it to me. And the smell changed a little bit, like when you went from Asia to Africa, it became more humid. And then when we went over to Hawaii near the end of the ride, there were some really strong floral notes. And the music, it's playing the Small World song the whole time, and now it's stuck.
Like it is right now as we're standing here recording this in front of the attraction.
It's a small world. But it's all in different languages, and the animals are doing their things, and you can hear little click-clack and taps. And I don't know, we went by when we were going through Northern Europe, we went by a big group of singing geese that sang with a slightly different sort of tone. I'm just like, I'm having so much fun here.
And I will say the smell as we are standing here is classic popcorn.
Yes.
Super amped up. There's a popcorn cart just over your left shoulder there. And
it's so buttery.
It's like the smell of butter and without the Chardonnay.
Exactly.
And it's like one of my favorite smells. It's so nostalgic.
Does this bring you back to when you were a cast member and just even your childhood?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I came to Disneyland for the first time when I was in high school.
Wow.
I went to Disney World when I was in fourth grade. Gosh. And of course then started working at Walt Disney World in 1997. But this is great. I make it here about once a year and I'm so excited to share some of my new favorite snacks with you. So we'll check in with some delicious bites in a few minutes.
I can't wait. And you guys maybe talked me into going on Rise of the Resistance.
Oh my God, Lightning Lane, let's go.
I was nervous about it, but we're going to do it.
All right, here we go.
And we're going to talk about the challenge and overcoming challenges and how much fun it is.
It's a teaching moment.
It is a teaching moment.
All right.
All right.
Here we are on the carousel. Hi, friend.
Hey, friend.
Have you been on this before?
I never have. No, this is my second time to Disneyland, and we really didn't do that much stuff when we were here the first time, so this is amazing.
All right.
Woohoo! It's Disneyland, and we're riding a carousel. Hey, I'm Dr. Hobie, your guide to some of the greatest things life has to offer. And sometimes finding joy and magic on a random Saturday is one of the greatest things life has to offer. Rolling up and down on these nostalgic horses is so special. My friend Nikki Lamberti is here. Hey, Nikki. Nikki's a Disney cast member for many, many years. And we're here with her enjoying the magic of Disney today. And one of the things that I love is that kids and adults and everybody can go on this ride. And that was one of Walt's big inspirations behind it, is he didn't like to sit and watch his little girls. I heard this from Nikki. Doing the carousel on their own. He wanted to do it too. And this is what he built here. A beautiful, clean way to just giddy up and have a good old time. Cheers, y'all. Love ya. Woo!
And that was a behind the scenes listens of Dr. Hobie recording a reel for his famous Instagram while on horse. We are in front of the castle and we just stopped to buy a famous turkey leg so
yes.
that Hobie and Justin could experience this barbaric classic Disney treat.
I've never seen anything like this.
Huge. All right. See, this is what you want to be getting.
Oh, God. This thing is like the size of my head.
It's huge.
Oh, my God. That's really barbaric.
Yeah. My mouth is actually watering looking at it.
Does it look good?
Yeah.
I mean, it's huge.
I would rotate it. Yeah. Yeah.
They're perfect.
This is obscene.
It is obscene.
That is.
How does it smell?
Okay, it kind of smells like a hot dog.
Yeah, it's ginormous, and the skin is very golden and crispy. And
are turkeys this
big? It is like a ham. Yeah, these turkeys are. We are prepping for the famous reel.
We're going to call him Justin.
Justin is zhuzhing your turkey leg in front of the castle. You've got blue sky and crowd behind you, clouds.
This thing is like over a pound.
It's crazy.
Okay, where do you want me to bite from? Oh, I was gonna bite through the skin.
Well,
did you tear the skin off?
No, it's just sliding down.
Okay.
I love this so much. I don't know why I love this so much.
This is a little fun.
He's shushing your hair.
Justin's hair and makeup, but he's also the turkey prepper.
Okay, 3, 2, 1, action.
Well, folks, I'm live in Disneyland Park reporting to you from this turkey leg. It's Disneyland turkey time. Oh my God. Hey, I'm Dr. Hobie, your guide to some of the greatest things life has to offer. And okay, I like turkey. Turkey legs are great, but a turkey leg iconic in Disneyland is what I consider one of the greatest things life has to offer. So it's got this little drumette here. This is where the foot would attach. And then this leg is just this behemoth of tissue and flesh on top here. If you smell it, it smells a little bit like bacon, a little bit like ham. It almost feels like a small piece of ham, but this is 100% turkey. Turkey legs have been popular since medieval times at fairs and festivals, often at Renaissance events, and currently if you still go to Renaissance Fairs today, you'll find them. They were introduced to Disneyland in the early 1990s and became a symbol of the park because they're like one meal in a hand. They're huge, they're large, a little bit barbaric looking, and the way that Disneyland has perfected their smoke and their brine is nothing short of stellar. So from the early 90s when these were introduced to today, 35 years later, this is still a true Disney icon, as our tour guide and friend Nikki tells us. Here's a bite. Okay, definitely dark meat, delicious dark turkey. It's been smoked for long enough that it's got a nice little layer on the outside and you bite in and it's really nice and juicy. And yeah, good flavor, tastes like a good turkey. Reminds me a little bit of the holidays or Thanksgiving. A little bit sweet on the brine, nice savory, salty note. And I can't wait to dig into this skin either. The skin is nice and crispy. Oh yeah, skin's really good too and briny. Man, I've never done this before. It's a turkey leg in Disneyland. Try yourself a turkey leg next time you're here. You won't be disappointed. Cheers, y'all. Love ya.
Oh, it's so great.
Okay.
That was great. Hope he just did his reel. Now I am going to taste this. I think I have tasted one of these maybe 20 years ago in Disney World.
And you've worked for the park for a long time, so I'm surprised you haven't had more turkey.
Not a normal occurrence. I did want to try the skin.
The skin's really good. It's crispy.
Mmm.
And it's got good flavor.
This thing is ginormous.
It's hard to hold.
It is like Thanksgiving.
It is. And it's a good high quality.
It's delicious.
Yeah.
There is smokiness. There is sweetness. And whatever they cure it with or brine it with. Yeah, look at that piece, Justin. Look at you.
Hey, he did it.
Justin's been intermittent fasting all morning, but now he's going to break his fast with this beautiful turkey meat. Here, let's see what Justin thinks. Well, he has a mouthful right now.
Definitely brined. It's very good.
Yeah. And it doesn't taste very processed. That's what I like about this. It tastes like something that you would cook at your house. And...
Oh, are you challenging that statement? You're challenging that statement with your mouthful?
He is.
Yeah.
Challenge me.
It definitely, I mean, there's no quick way to do this. Like, this has been slow roasted for a long amount of time, right?
Never tasted anything like this.
I think it was delicious. I had that one bite, and now I'm kind of like, why is Justin hugging it? I'm ready for another bite.
I know.
Which is one of the things that they say about it is that it's kind of addicting.
It's a little
because of the salt and the savoriness. And
it's a little bit like beef jerky or something like that.
Yeah. Take another bite, sir.
There you go for you.
Okay.
Mmm. Oh, yeah. It's good. It sort of makes me want stuffing and cranberry sauce.
Yes.
But it's very good, and it's nice. You know, it's a lot of walking in the park. And one of the things that would be so nice about this is you just carry it around with you.
It's a portable snack.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even a snack, it's a meal. I would like to know the wine pairing with this, guys.
What do you think? I'm thinking
Pinot. Ah, Jinx.
Or Jinx, or Zin.
Yeah, because of the smokiness.
Zin could be interesting.
I think
Zin
Pinot.
Pinot. I think you're right.
It's really good, you guys. It's
really good.
Nicely cooked.
And it's juicy.
It's better than I was expecting it to be.
I'm sorry, can you say that again, Mr. Skeptical?
Better than I was expecting it to be.
Uh-huh, yep, see, I'm not gonna steer you wrong.
We must have gotten, like, an anomaly.
Nikki does not steer us wrong, and man, we just went, I was nervous about going on the Star Wars, what was the exact name of it?
Rise of the Resistance.
Rise of the Resistance, and we went and we were in a ship and saw some enemies, some people that we didn't know what to do with, and we fought them off.
What was your perception of that ride? How did you perceive it?
I was totally excited to be in the first room where we heard kind of a story and we set the scene. Then we went in this funny little people mover thing that didn't really move, but it had the illusion optically that it was moving. And what's crazy is tactily as well, it felt like it was moving. They were able to simulate this forward sort of rolling motion. It was wild, and they told us a story. We found the enemy ship, and we went and got in these little cars and rolled. Apparently this ride is more complicated, according to Nikki, than the SpaceX rocket.
It has more technological components than a SpaceX rocket, is what I learned in an info session about the construction of the ride.
It is insane, because all these little cars, they're not on one solid track. They're all moving independent of one another. And the part I was really nervous about was going up in an elevator And then at some point you drop down. So it's like a 10 to 15 foot drop. It's no big deal. But it was still like, whoa, am I going to be okay with this? And ended up loving it.
Nice. So the motion was okay for
motion
you?
Motion was great.
Cool.
Motion was great.
All right, fab. Justin, thoughts of Rise of the Resistance with a mouthful of turkey
very
leg?
Well done.
Yeah?
Yep.
Okay.
Very intricate, very high tech.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good storytelling. Disney storytelling at its finest.
Yeah. Disney storytelling with all elements. Sound, touch, smell, and looks.
Well, that's kind of like where we're standing right now. We are at the hub of Disneyland between the Walt statue and the castle next to this turkey leg cart. And just the amount of sensory that is happening standing here from music to smell. It's turkey leg out of the mix, just the smells of popcorn, churros, flowers, vegetation.
Disneyland in general.
People.
Yeah. It's just amazing.
Yeah.
It's an amazing sensory extravaganza, guys.
Awesome. We're on the search for the pickle dog next.
We're hunting the dog.
Cheers.
Cheers, guys.
We will be right back. I had the most healthy and delicious lunch the other day. It was a salmon patty over a bed of spinach, and it was loaded with omega-3 and fatty acids. I was so proud of myself. And this beautiful fish came from Sina C. In episode 69, you heard my awesome conversation with Sina Wheeler. She is from a fifth-generation fishing family, and she and her husband, Rich, founded Sina C, where he catches wild, sustainably caught fish in Alaska, and then they cut it and package it and ship it beautifully right to your door, and it arrives premium sushi-grade quality with a special recipe card on what to do with it. Well, now that it's summer, that means everything is in season right now, from their specialty sockeye salmon to halibut, cod, crab cakes, which is my mom's favorite. They're a small family-owned business, and they've been kind enough to create a discount code for our listeners. The code is SIPNC, S-I-P and S-E-A, SIPNC, and you can use that at their website, SinaC.com. SinaC is S-E-N-A-S-E-A.com, and you can get 10% off your order with that coupon code. This can be for a one-time purchase, or also popular is their subscription box that you can create or let them curate for you. Their website is loaded with grilling recipes, which are great for summer, and lots of inspirations of what to do with all of this beautiful fish that they will send right to your doorstep. I encourage you to sign up for their mailing list because they do a monthly drawing for a $50 gift card every month. So check out their delicious fish at SinaC.com. Healthy fish delivered easy. In episode 78, you heard Liz from American Olive Farmer share her basil, lemon, and garlic olive oils with me. And then in episode 83, Pairing Night with Dr. Hobie, you heard us blow our friends' minds when they tasted them, as well as her balsamic vinegar and olio novello. Well, Liz and her husband Donald operate American Olive Farmer, which is here in California, and they are some of the most delicious olive oils and vinegars I have ever put in my mouth. They are superlative extra virgin olive oils, 100% grown, milled, and bottled here in California. And you can purchase a variety of different oils depending on the time of year. But right now, those three flavored oils are hot, and you can buy them in a bundle of all three and save. Serve them for dipping alongside your charcuterie board or drizzled over your pizza, which is my favorite thing to do. You can set up a subscription for savings and have all of their beautiful products shipped right to your door. So check out American Olive Farmer, not only for oils and vinegars, but beautiful accessories and gifts. Liz and Donald have been kind enough as our sponsor to create a discount code for listeners. So use the code SIPWITHNIKKI at checkout. Capital S, capital W, capital N, Sip with Nikki, and they will give you 10% off your order. Go check it out. You're welcome. And now, back to the show.
So we just stopped and got a pickle corn dog at Downtown Disney, and Hobie is going to taste it for the first time and then do his magical reel.
I don't know if they're magical, but I want to hear what all of us think. I want to hear what Nikki thinks.
Yeah.
I think we should talk about what wine to pair this with, too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Because I don't know. Guys, it's a hot dog stuffed in a hollowed-out pickle, breaded in cornmeal batter, and then panko-crusted and deep-fried, and it's served with a side of... What is it, Nikki?
Peanut butter!
Peanut butter jelly. Peanut butter
no
pickle
jelly.
Dog time.
Peanut butter pickle dog. Peanut butter pickle dog.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Don't drop it.
Stick,
okay. It's like $15. Don't drop it on the ground.
And it's another very heavy thing.
It is.
You're going to take a bite, right?
Yep. And then dip.
And then dip. Okay.
So yeah. So I want to try it with and without. Do you like it like a reporter mic again?
That was so funny. You can. I still want to bite it, but I won't.
He's a drippy.
I still want to bite it.
Should bite it. Just take a bite.
No, you have to. It's like pristine for the video.
Okay, I get corn dogs, I get pickles, but a pickle dog in Downtown Disney. What? Hey, I'm Dr. Hobie, your guide to some of the greatest things life has to offer. And sometimes greatness is in the form of uniqueness. Disney is all about magic and joy and creating these moments that are memorable. Well, I've never tasted a pickle dog before. I've had plenty of corn dogs, I've had plenty of pickles. This is literally, it's made by a shop here called Blue Ribbon. It is a hot dog that is then stuffed in a deep fried pickle, which is then battered with cornmeal, and then panko crusted, deep fried, and served with a side of peanut butter of all things. Now, I like pickles and I like hot dogs, but we're gonna see how they go together. So let's give this a bite without the peanut butter and then taste it with the peanut butter. Interesting. All right, Nikki, third bite, go ahead.
You need me to bite it down for you so you can then get to the pickle?
Try it. I want you to try it super fresh.
Oh, I got pickle.
Is it good? Mm-hmm. I like it.
All right, pickle's there. But I want to make it look good for the video. Yeah, okay, that's good.
Okay.
Okay, there we go. There we go.
It's so good.
Okay. Flavor's super interesting. Sweet corn batter, really nice salty crunchy pickle, and then a hot dog inside that's salty and tastes like a hot dog. It actually works really well together. It's like a hot dog that you put dill relish on. Now, here's the key. I want to taste this with the peanut butter.
Standing by with peanut butter off screen.
Woo!
Okay, the lid is off. Do you want me to just hold it and you just want to
dip
it?
Sure, I'm just going to do it quick. Okay, so now we got to try this in the peanut butter. All right, there we go. Taking a bite. What?
Okay.
Holy cow, that dog really, really works with the peanut butter. It really changes the flavor. It adds a little bit of sweetness. It elevates it, and there's a nuttiness about peanut butter that kind of can't describe it any better way than peanut flavor. It's like really delicious with pickles. And some people actually put peanut butter and pickles on sandwiches together. I've heard of it. And here, that works. Wow. Peanut butter pickle dog. Cheers, y'all. Give it a try if you're ever in Downtown Disney. Love ya.
Okay.
Awesome.
All right.
So good.
So Nikki, what do you think of the flavor of the dog?
I think it's delicious. I mean, just the fact that it's hand battered and dipped and fried, made to order, so that panko breading
really
is
crispy.
Super crispy and fresh. I like it. What's
it's
not
good.
To like? I love hot dogs, I love pickles, and I love fried stuff.
I
so
do too.
Like, what's not to love?
What I find a little hard with this one is that the pickle gets so hot. You know, in the fryer, it's like that watery pickle.
Well, sometimes you just got to deal with a hot, watery pickle, Hobie.
I know.
I mean, this
Damn
is life.
It,
this is life.
This is life. And there are worse things in life. All right.
How was it when you went and dipped it in the peanut butter? Because that seems like just a whole nother level of what and why.
It's weirdly unexpected. So I was not expecting the peanut butter to do what it did. I was expecting it to kind of mellow the flavor, lighten the flavor a little bit. But instead, it really brightened it. It took the dill and the pickle and made it more dilly. And the hot dog was more smoky. And it was this wild, weird
thing. So the sweetness made the herbal more herbaceous.
I think so. Mm. Yeah, you know, peanut butter has that thing, like peanut butter and bananas, peanut butter and jelly. Peanut butter and pickle, it kind of does the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, it kind of enhances the otherwise savory, in this case, character, or whatever it is you're eating.
Justin, I feel like you're less enthusiastic about this snack item. What are we thinking?
I like the flavor combination. I think that the wateriness of the pickle is a little much. Like it contrasts with the crunchy texture of the
Okay. It sogs out the dog a little bit.
It's not like it's bad. It's just I could lose the pickle.
Okay.
Be happy with just the dog.
Got it.
So you just would go for the classic corn dog.
Or have the pickle on the side, maybe. Instead.
Oh, there you go. Oh, okay. So a cold, crunchy pickle on the side of a nice classic corn dog.
Okay. All right. Last question. Wine pairing with the pickle dog.
That's an interesting question.
I'm going, wait for it, champagne. I am going dry, tight bubbles,
like
tiny
it,
bubbles, Nikki. Like a palate cleanser, because there's a lot of flavors going on there. And then I would have even like a Veuve Clicquot or a Blanc de Blanc from Schramsberg would be delicious. Just some beautiful sparkling wine.
You know what? Even Prosecco.
Yeah.
Even Prosecco.
I'm going sparkling.
Sparkling. The other thing about this, I would also do this. I could see doing this with like a really good crispy unoaked Chardonnay. You know, like a nice green apple Chardonnay
that,
from Stainless Steel Ferment Only.
Yeah.
The other thing, like, I just want to point out, I totally agree with your champagne pairing. But the thing to me that's so much fun is that sometimes the more classy looking beverages that you would pair things with, like, you know, think about champagne and caviar and that sort of thing.
I love champagne and fried chicken.
I love champagne and pickle dogs.
I love champagne and nachos.
I do too.
So like, I feel like this is in that same school of
And don't
pairing.
Worry about pairing things that are less quote unquote fine foods with otherwise fine wines. Like, there's no problem.
Agree.
My favorite pairing is Cabernet and a hamburger.
Mm-hmm.
So good.
Mm-hmm.
So
I
good.
Agree. Well, that was a fun one.
Right,
thanks, guys.
More to come.
All right.
Woo-woo.
Welcome, my friends. All righty, my friends, have fun.
Thank you.
Woo-hoo.
Woo! We are on a Disney Ferris wheel. Now we're going up.
We're going up, okay.
Nikki, we are together on a Disney Pixar Pal-Around Ferris wheel.
It's a beautiful Sunday morning here at Disney's California Adventure. And thank you for getting me on an attraction that I've actually never done.
I'm very proud.
This is the first time on this for me. This used to be called Mickey's Fun Wheel down at the Pixar here, but it's the big Ferris wheel, essentially.
Yay, and I'm so excited. It's a very rare occurrence that I find something at Disney that you haven't done.
I know.
So we did it.
We did it.
So how high up are we?
Okay, so right now we've rotated, if the wheel is a big clock and we got on at 6 o'clock, we're at about 3. So
okay.
About 45 degrees up right now.
Got it. Are we high enough that you wouldn't want to fall and hit the ground from up here?
Definitely would not want to fall from here, and we're going higher as we speak. And now we basically have a bird's eye view of the whole park. And we've got the Incredicoaster zhuzhing next to us, which
oh my
is
gosh.
That crazy noise.
Now that we're high, do you feel the breeze?
The air totally changed.
Oh, it's
here.
Fresh up here.
It's nice, because it was warm down below as we were boarding.
It was hot. And now we're getting those trade winds coming off the Pacific.
Yeah. It's really beautiful, and I brought one of my favorite Disney snacks on board.
Did you really?
Oh my gosh.
What'd you bring?
So it's not unique or different or earth-shattering, but it is a classic. I got some theme park popcorn.
Ooh, okay.
Would you like to try some for breakfast this morning?
I would love to try a kernel.
Here you go.
Thank you, my friend.
Okay. I don't think there's anything better than this.
Oh, sitting on the Ferris wheel with popcorn? Oh my gosh. So. Just the smell.
Sticking my nose in the box.
It's so buttery.
Yeah.
And that compound is called diacetyl. It's the stuff that when butter is churned, makes butter smell like butter. It's that kind of iconic European butter smell. And Nikki, where else in our world is diacetyl important?
When people say, I don't like a buttery Chardonnay, and I've talked about this on previous episodes, when you have a Chardonnay that has that very buttery note to it, it's because there is diacetyl in the Chardonnay. But Hobie, how did it get there?
So Chardonnay is one of these fun ones where we often undergo what's called partial malolactic fermentation.
What? Say it again.
Malolactic fermentation. So malic acid has two acid groups and is really sour. Lactic acid only has one acid group and is not so sour and more mellow. The thing that does that fermentation from malic acid to lactic acid is called lactobacillus. And it's a cute little bacteria that loves chomping on malic acid and producing lactic acid. One of the other things it produces is, wait for it, diacetyl.
Woohoo! So that's why some wines, especially Chardonnay, will have that perception of butteriness because they've gone through that process. So if you want a non-buttery Chardonnay, you just need one that hasn't gone through malolactic fermentation, my listeners.
Here's a fun fact, Nikki. The guy who did a lot of the pioneering research on diacetyl and wine is a food chemist by the name of Ron Buttery.
What? You're making that up.
I think he chose his career based on his last name.
I think it was fate. Here, do you want some more popcorn?
Sure, why not?
So why do you think, from a chemistry standpoint and flavor profile, why do you think popcorn is just always and forever one of the favorite snacks?
Oh man, Disney or otherwise, popcorn is just special, right? Because it's crunchy, it's got carbs in it, and just feels satisfying to chew on.
It does, and the salt, it's the salt. I mean, let's be honest.
It's the salt and the butter. You know what, it kind of has the same sating effect for me? It's a little bit like eating sunflower seeds.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's kind of that, it just feels good to snack on. Okay, so now it sounds like we're coming in.
We're back down at the bottom. Is that it? Is that the end? Or do we go again? Nope, we're going again.
Okay, so that was one lap.
That was one rotation around the sun.
This is a huge Ferris wheel.
It is big, and we are not in one of them, but it has some cars that swing and kind of slide in the center of the wheel. We are in the non-swinging car because we thought easier for recording.
Eating and recording.
And no eating and swinging, even though we're not supposed to be eating our popcorn on here. Shh, don't tell, Disney police. Don't tell.
And we got our own cart, so
Do you perceive, like, can you tell when we're moving and when we're not?
Kind of, yeah.
In your equilibrium?
A little bit, and I can feel the wind get stronger as we're moving.
Yeah.
So now we're going back up, right?
We are, and we're almost at the top again. And the view up here is amazing!
Oh my gosh, can you see over to downtown Disney?
Yes, I can see Space Mountain. I can see the Matterhorn.
Wow.
I can see Galaxy's Edge. I can see the Grand Californian Hotel behind us.
So you're looking over into Disneyland Park from California Adventures.
Yes, it's amazing.
It.
It's so beautiful. But I will say, especially getting a bird's eye view up here, is a great reminder of how landlocked Disneyland is here in Anaheim.
Yes.
Versus Walt Disney World, if you get a bird's eye view like this, that's, you know,
so spread out.
Almost 50 square miles for Disney World in Florida. Whereas here, when we get the panoramic view up top, we see all the Disney things around us, but then immediately we see Anaheim.
Right.
We see the city.
So we actually can see the city from up here.
Yes. Yep. Yay. All right. This is probably our last rotation.
All right.
Are we picking up with a diacetyl conversation?
Yeah. One of the things about diacetyl is that if you ever eat, like, spread in a tub.
Like, I can't believe it's not butter.
Like, yeah, that's a liquid, and then the spreads are going to be more your soybean oil, and so they're a little more coagulated. All those butter substitutes, those fake butters, are flavored to make you think they're butter with diacetyl that they just add after blending the butter. Kind of
and
cool.
Is that what makes butter so delicious and addictive, just like popcorn?
Well, I think butter's just got yummy fat and it's delicious.
Yeah, it's
but
fat.
I think that diacetyl helps.
I would like to know, since we are sadly at the tail end of our fun-packed Dave Matthews and Disney weekend, heading to the airport here shortly after lunch, what has been a highlight for you and or the most delicious thing that you've put in your mouth on this trip?
Oh my goodness. Well, we ate a turkey leg yesterday. I think that takes the maybe not most delicious, but most unique and iconic.
Okay.
That was amazing. And really a highlight for me was, you know, we all had dinner with amazing friends last night.
Shout out to Jeff and Patrick.
Shout out to Jeff and Patrick. Yay, guys. They're amazing, amazing people.
Dear friends
people
who live in the area who came and met us for dinner.
Also
and
cast members.
Spontaneous after dinner excursion into the Disneyland park because Hobie wanted to ride Tiana's Bayou Adventure.
Yes,
which
we
did.
We did it twice.
And got soaked and ruined. It has been a long time since I've closed down a Disney park.
Oh my gosh.
They were literally kicking us out at 12:15 a.m.
It was crazy. We left like right as they were closing.
We did.
And that was a real highlight. And then the other highlight was going on the Star Wars ride with you.
Rise of the Resistance.
Yeah. And getting to do the drop and feeling those carts move all every which way. They're really impressive how they move.
The technology is pretty advanced on those vehicles in
goodness.
Rise of the Resistance. Yeah.
It's epic.
It's just like choreography with all these different vehicles moving through the scenes and forward and backwards and like on a 360-degree axis. It's crazy.
And we're kind of dancing with the other carts,
yes.
aren't we, kind of?
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. Yeah.
Yeah, yep. Choreographed. You made me think of the word dance with the use of choreograph.
Yeah.
The other thing is that, so that was a highlight, and just being with both of you, Nikki and Justin, in the park and doing this whole adventure solidified the fact that, you know, I think we are really, really good travel buddies.
We did great.
And I think we had so much joy.
Amen to that. That's why I keep you around, because I'm a hashtag joy junkie.
I love it too, and that's why we hang. The other thing is that, of course, the concert was amazing, but they're always amazing.
And that was what number Dave Matthews concert for you?
I don't know. It was like 100, I think.
Yeah, it was about 50 for me.
50, heck yes.
It was fantastic. So our grand finale after we get off the Pixar Pal Around wheel momentarily is lunch at Din Tai Fung.
Oh.
And when I told you they had one here at Downtown Disney, you got very excited.
I did.
Is this apparently one of your favorites?
I love it.
Yeah, well, they're known for their soup dumplings, and I think there's going to be quite a few of those on our table.
You bite in and it just squishes.
Yeah, it's delicious.
Mm, it's so good.
Well, this has been so fun. Thanks for taking a ride with me and enjoying this classic Disney snack popcorn.
Thank you for creating a weekend of magic, my friend.
Woohoo, my pleasure.
So much fun, and I hope that you were able to feel like you were right there with us in the surroundings, and I encourage you to approach even a normal Tuesday with the same curiosity, joy, excitement that Hobie does in a day at Disneyland. If you enjoyed hearing from him and would like to hear a little bit more, scroll back in the catalog of episodes. There's at least 4 other episodes all the way back to last year featuring Dr. Hobie, and they're easy to find because his name is always in the title. If you'd like to be an angel and support the podcast, you can do so with a link in the show notes, and I would be forever grateful. And check out our Solovato wines for some delicious small lot, handcrafted, with love, sustainably grown wine here from Sonoma County. Whatever you do between now and next week, I hope that you find some joy and sip well.